Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 5 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, December the 18th, 2016. Edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You need to call our new line, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636 if you like numbers. Either one will get you here. 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, I certainly love to hear your perspective and what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. I will be right back. Don't you go anywhere. Okay, just like I promised, was that a threat? I'm back 8 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports, like I said, virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sporting conversation. Our new studio line, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Let's go to women's college basketball scores. Yesterday, West Virginia 107, Longwood 40. I guess that was, you could call it a cupcake game. Colorado 76, Mississippi Valley 64. Or that Missouri Valley. I don't know. Texas 76, UT San Antonio 43, cupcake all written all over that one. Arizona State 79, Oral Roberts 52, and Oregon 90, Portland State 46, and that's women's college basketball for yesterday. I believe it was during last week, Connecticut women's basketball team continued their undefeated streak. I think it's, 84 games in a row. And the week before, they went into Notre Dame, who was ranked number one or two, depending on the poll. And they beat them there at home, So I guess the Connecticut Husky women. I don't think any woman wants to be called Husky. But anyway, the Connecticut Huskies are still rolling. It's going to be interesting to see whether anybody can take them down. 2 years ago, was it last year? 2 years ago it was. I saw Connecticut, UConn versus South Carolina. South Carolina had a really big team, talented, athletic, but they were playing them in stores, and they looked like deer caught in the headlight. I don't know if they have improved or whatever, but it's going to be interesting to see if anybody can challenge UConn Husky ladies throughout the rest of this. I mean, winning five NCAA titles in a row is John Wooden-like with the UCLA teams of many years ago. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And so far, yeah, rolling right along. Let's go to men's basketball. Yesterday, UCLA 86, Ohio State 73, Kansas 89, Davidson 71, Baylor 82, Jackson State 57. I saw a little bit of this game. Kentucky 103, North Carolina 100. Some kid named Monks was throwing them in from all over the place. But North Carolina, they held right in there. They missed a lot of free throws early in the game, and that probably put them behind the eight ball for the entire game. But Kentucky, loaded. North Carolina looks like they're loaded. Villanova's undefeated. They're ranked number one. And yesterday, UCLA, I think, was ranked number two, defeated Ohio State. So, and Duke is still always hanging around. They always have competitive basketball team, men's team. So we're going to see what happens in men's basketball as the season rolls along. Here's an upset. Butler, who's ranked number 18, defeated Indiana, who's ranked number 9, 83-78. Butler, 83, Indiana, 78. Creighton, 65, Oral Roberts, Creighton, 66, Oral Roberts, 65. Louisville, 87, Eastern Kentucky, 56. West Virginia, 112. UMKC. Now, don't ask me where UMKC is. I have no clue. West Virginia, 112. UMKC, 67. Virginia, 79. Robert Morris, 39. Robert, you should have added his middle name in there. Maybe you've gotten more points. 40-point beatdown in the hands of Virginia. Can we say cupcake? Notre Dame, 80. Purdue, what's wrong with me? Purdue, 86. That's what happened when it's 4:13 in the morning. Purdue, 86. Notre Dame, 81. South Carolina, 77. South Florida, 66. Xavier, 69. Wake Forest, 65. Arizona, 67. Texas A&M, 63. Oregon, 83. UNLV, 63. Florida State, 83. Manhattan, 67. USC, 82. Troy, 77. They should have brought Helen along. She might have been able to distract them a little bit, but anyway. I just throwing those out there. Cincinnati, 119. Cincinnati, 119. Fairleigh Dickinson, 68. They could have brought in a middle name and a nickname, and they still wouldn't have come close in that one. 4:13 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm Donnelly Brown on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sporting conversation. You have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. I'll be back.
is Anthony Hopkins with an important message about cancer prevention and treatment. While research continues for better ways to detect and treat cancer, there's one very important step I would ask you to consider right now, and that is to take a good look at your diet. New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods can reduce the risk of certain cancers, and they may even help with survival. And there's more good news. A plant-based diet isn't just good for beating cancer. It can help protect against diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. For a free brochure and plenty of delicious recipes, please visit us on the web at www.cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. This message is brought to you by the Cancer Project, a non-profit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival through nutrition, education, and research.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sons of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sport. 419 is the Brown Perspective on Sport. Time my host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here regularly every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the conversation. You have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. During that break, I just found out that I left a lot of my stuff at home. Last week was quite a week. This is starting off really crazy too. But anyway, we will do our best to keep you entertained, informed, and all that other good stuff here on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. NBA yesterday, Thunder 114 and the Suns 101. And I had some interesting things I wanted to say about the NBA, too, now that I think about it. How many of them I remember off the top of my head without my notes? It'll be interesting to see. Okay, Pacers 105 and the Pistons 90. Hornets 107 and the Hawks 99. Cavaliers 119, the Lakers 108. The Rockets 111 and the Timberwolves 109. That game went into overtime. Nuggets 127, the Knicks 114, and the Warriors 135, the Trailblazers 90. Woo! A 45-point beatdown. And the Warriors are starting to roll. One of the things I knew I was going to say that were in my notes that I left at home, it looks like the class of the NBA. The Cavaliers, the world champion Cavaliers, the Golden State Warriors, and the San Antonio Spurs. And then there's the rest of the group. In any one of that group, including the Celtics, they're the Raptors. Who else will I include in that group? Oh, I wish I had my notes. But they're a group of teams, a large group of teams, who are still below the top three teams. And I would still think that with the addition of Durant, if everybody stays healthy, I look for the Warriors to win their second title in 3 years. I don't think the Cavaliers, even with a healthy, well-rested LeBron James, as they are doing, throughout the course of the year, have enough to overcome the Golden State Warriors. And since the Warriors will probably have to go head-to-head against San Antonio, that is the only thing that might be working in the Cavaliers' favor as far as repeating as champions are concerned. But like I said, there's a whole ton of teams in there, and I'm thinking that maybe with the ability of Brad Stevens to really eke out everything that he can out of his ball club, that the Celtics might move up into, they should be able to move up to challenge Toronto, how far they could go, and maybe even give Cleveland a couple of tough games down the road. But I don't think that they have enough to deal with the Cavaliers, and there's just so many, like I said, so many other teams in there. But one good thing is that the Brooklyn Nets are starting to lose games again. They were playing really well. And the New York Knicks have improved and they are doing really well. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of teams in there that I said, you know, could move up into the upper echelon. But it, right now, I don't see that happening. But like I said, anything can happen. 423 is the WMFO Brown Perspective on Sport Time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here from 4 to 5 a.m. virtually every Sunday. From and you can also get us on the internet. We're at 91.5 FM WMFO. We can also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5 FM.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, and plan to be here till 5 a.m. talking sports, and love to get you in some sports conversation. To give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. That's a threat. Okay, 427 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm back on another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. One of the big topics around here in the world of NBA basketball and the Boston Celtics was, and I think I broached it. I was surprised how many other people out there must have been listening to our program. And I questioned about whether it be beneficial for the Celtics to trade Isaiah Thomas, if we could get a legitimate big man who doesn't have head issues. So that leaves Boogie Cousins out. And would it be a gutsy thing to trade into someone like Philadelphia, who looks like they're going to be a powerhouse next year. And all they do lack is a great point guard. So would you be making them better? Yeah, you would, without a doubt. But if you could get a Joel Embiid or a Khalil Okafor, I'm more toward Embiid than Okafor, although both have had injuries, but Okafor is obviously the more serious one. Would it be prudent? Would it be a good thing? Would it be beneficial to attempt to move Isaiah Thomas? I'm trying to do something here also technically with my system. There we go. Would it be appropriate to move Isaiah at the height of his ability and, like I said, get that really good big man that we need on the inside? And the reason I say that also is that we've seen that Marcus Smart can play very good point guard. Obviously, a much better defender. We have Terry Rozier coming off the bench, who showed that he can use the extra playing time as well and probably give you a little more offense. A tenacious defender is just like Marcus Smart. And then we got Demetrius Jackson up in Portland with the Red Claws, wherever they are. And so, therefore, with a glut of point guards on the roster already, maybe we could move, someone might be willing to allow us to move Isaiah and give us that big inside man. Maybe there's somebody else out there. What do you think if you're a basketball fan? It's not just a case of trading him to trade him. The team is obviously better with him offensively, certainly, but I think the team can improve. Certainly a little bit, Well, when I say I'm not knocking his defense, because he's only 5'9", You get a 6'4 point guard, playing against him, and they haven't done a lot of posting up, on him, but that's what will happen when the playoff time comes. They'll isolate their big guy on him, and what else can you do? So anyway, that's just a thought that I threw out there. And a lot of people jumped on the bandwagon because the team lost 3 games in a row with him out of the lineup. Everybody say, well, that's not a great idea. Well, maybe it isn't, but it's something that you could explore. And like I said, with the other young draft picks coming up, we're still probably a year away. Like I said, I saw some of the Kentucky North Carolina game yesterday. Yeah, some really good players on both clubs. Monks went crazy, but he's not really what we need. like I said, we need a big man on the inside. Amir Johnson is just not doing it offensively or defensively. Rebounding has been a problem. I don't know why. But anyway, and Al Horford could use some help. He's still not the Al Horford of the Atlanta Hawks as yet. But hopefully we have an opportunity to see him progress. And we can move him to the power forward slot, because we have a big man on the inside that can score and rebound and do all that good stuff. That's a thought. Throw it out there. Give me a comment. I think Isaiah Thomas is a real cool guy and a really good basketball player. And if we can add somebody next year without losing him, all the better. Okay, 4:32 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on the Sunday, December 18th, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the conversation, you need to call our new phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. Be back.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Those words are just as true as they were back in 1961.
Carter Fleming, Community Center volunteer.
I am still trying to live up to that challenge. And with great privilege comes great responsibility.
Growing up in poverty taught me how to be determined, how to be goal-oriented.
Ray Wright, youth mentor.
I work with young people every day. And young people have almost lost faith in the world surrounding them. I'm that ray of sunshine telling them we haven't been forsaken.
The giving spirit is as passionate in the boomers today as it was in our 20s, and we as a generation can still impact our country.
Lead, inspire, change the world again. Join thousands and find which volunteer opportunity is best for you. Call 1-800-424-8867 today or visit www.getinvolved.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service on this station.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:36 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Now, I even left all of my information about the weather at home. So I can give you the temperature a little bit later on in the program, but all the other good information I don't have with me. Okay, let's go to the National Hockey League and stop crying in your, whatever you're crying in. National Hockey League yesterday, the Stars 3 and the Flyers 1. The Wild 4 and the Coyotes 1. Maple Leafs 2 and the Penguins 1. Senators 3 and New Jersey 1. Red Wings 6 and the Ducks 4. Canadiens 2 and the Capitals 1. The Blackhawks 6 and the Blues 4. The Hurricanes 2 and the Sabres 1. That was a shootout. The Rangers 2 and the Predators 1. That was a shootout. And the Oilers 3 and the Lightning 2. Also a shootout. Bad news for the for all Bruins fans. Pasternak had, I believe, elbow surgery. Pasternak was, the last I saw, he was tied for most goals scored with, anyway, he was tied for first place in the National Hockey League with most goals scored. And so the Bruins, who have been struggling mightily to score points, they're going to have a rough time. I think someone said he's going to be out for a couple of weeks, so I don't know where the goal scoring is going to come from. And so this could be a period where the Bruins just fall totally out of the playoff contention unless someone steps up. And I don't know who that someone's going to be, but if you're a Bruins fan, tell me what your hopes are for the future without Pasternak. And, we'll see if we can, muster some courage going forward here. I always admit, I don't follow hockey that closely, so I follow it through the Bruins. So at the beginning of the year, everyone was saying that the Bruins needed to get a top-rated defenseman in here. They needed to make a trade, if possible, or sign a free agent or whatever. That didn't happen. Defense has not been the problem. They've lost a lot of really close games, and it seems like the older guys have not been... the older guys are playing like older guys. I guess that's the best way to say it. And the younger guys are feeling their way. And so, therefore, they've had some, I guess, great goaltending from Rask, but the backup goalie hasn't been that good. And so when Rask is not there or not scheduled to play or not on his game, it's a long night for Bruins and the Bruins fans. So what can I say? We just have to hang in there. Like I said, I don't follow hockey that closely. I don't know who's out there that we could get, or if there is anybody out there that we could get that would make the team a contender right now. I don't see them making the playoffs. But like I said, I'm limited in my hockey knowledge. And so therefore, somebody like, I'm limited in my hockey knowledge, but I'm saying last year, or even the year before, maybe it was last year, I guess, that Pasternak needs to get more playing time. I didn't know why he was getting so little playing time. Claude Julien seemed to take a page out of the book of Doc Rivers when he was with the Celtics, where they were just not into developing young players. And the Tyler Seguin trade was a perfect example. How would we look now if we had both Seguin and Pasternak, leading our first and second lines out there? But the guys we got for trading Seguin are no longer with us either, so that was not very good. Neither is that GM either. So anyway, if you're a hockey fan, I saw a poll. I think it was during the one of the Bruins games. And the question was, does fighting have any place in hockey anymore? And I'm assuming these are all local Bruins fans. Like 90-something percent said, yes, it does. I don't understand that mentality. When you hear about all of the problems with concussions and dementia and everything else that follows after having, so many whacks to your head, I was, earlier in my ignorant life, a real boxing fan. But once I understood what happens to the brain and the brain stem after repeated blows to the head, and after you see, what Muhammad Ali turned out to be in the latter stages of his career, I said, hey, forget boxing. I wouldn't even watch it. And now we have this MMA, mixed martial arts murdering. and football is paying out all kinds of money to people who have these issues, who are now retired and barely getting along in life. And yet people think that fighting has a place in hockey. I mean, it's dangerous enough with the sharp skates and the sticks and the stuff you can do legally, banging people into the walls and all that other kind of stuff. Fighting? I don't see it. But anyway, hey, I think there were 8% of us who agree with me in that poll. So there you go. 4:42 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time on your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here regularly every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sporting conversation. You have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-WMFO. Before we go to break, and someone's going to say, another break? Yeah, let's look at college football. There are several low-level games played, bowl games played yesterday. In the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico 23, Texas San Antonio 20. In the Las Vegas Bowl, San Diego State 34, Houston 10. In the Raycom Media Camellia Bowl, Appalachian State 31, Toledo 28. In the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Southern Mississippi 28, Louisiana Lafayette 21. And in the Auto Nation Cure Bowl, Arkansas State 31, UCF 13. So there you go. If you college football bowl fans, it's so interesting that Boston College, who had, I think, what, a 500 or a little under 500 season, is going to go to a bowl game. But, you know, money talks, and I guess that's all that counts. 4:44 here on WMFO in Medford. And we'll be back after this break, and we're going to be into the NFL.
Edward Asner for the Department of Labor.
Does retirement seem like a long way off? Good. Because if you start saving now, all that time will make your money grow like crazy. And believe me, you're going to need it after you stop working. Is retirement coming faster than expected? Then there's no time to waste getting your retirement savings plan in order. It's never too late to make a big difference in how well you're going to live. Do it now, because saving matters.
To learn more, call 1-800-998-7542.
Okay, and that message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown perspective on sports. I've left more stuff at home. Oh, boy. I need to hire a secretary or somebody, something, someone. Anyway, I don't even have my picks. Anyway, I do have the schedule, I do believe. For this week. Okay, well, we do have some games. And let me see. Okay, NFL is what we're talking about. Thursday night, the Seahawks defeated the Rams 24-3, and I had that one. And on yesterday, the Dolphins defeated the Jets 34-13. I didn't have that one. Anyway, I figured that the Dolphins had played so miserably the couple of weeks ago that and everyone was touting them as a major contender to against the Patriots for NFL in what Eastern Conference supremacy or whatever the division they're in. And that the new coach had caught their attention. They were going great guns, and with Tannehill going down and Matt Moore, Matt Moore, I believe I read somewhere, has been with the Dolphins as backup for 7 years. 7 years. And he only played a handful of games during that time. That had to be one of the best jobs in football ever. Getting paid all those years, millions of dollars. I don't know what his contract is, but obviously making a lot more than the average Joe Doak out here. You're not doing anything at all. Except being back up, going to the meeting, showing up, and beating out anybody in training camp who might want to take his job. So, and he's doing well, I guess. Beat up on the Jets 34-13. And I was surprised with that one. I didn't do well last week. And maybe that's why I left my stats home. And my son did not get out the updated stats. So, therefore, I had no clue what anybody else was doing. I was in the first place, handily in first place over everybody else. But I didn't have a great week last week. I think I was 7-7 or some ridiculous thing like that. But hey, I had a 6-game lead over my son going into last week. And I had a 7-game lead over Bill. And I don't have any of those things with me, all on my desk at home. Sorry about that, folks. But anyway, let me give you my picks for the games today and on Monday. I got the Packers over the Bears. I got the Cowboys over the Buccaneers. I got the Texans over the Jaguars. I got the Bills over the Browns. I got the Ravens over the Eagles. I got the Chiefs over the Titans. I got the Giants over the Lions. I got the Vikings over the Colts. I got the Cardinals over the Saints. I got the Falcons over the 49ers. I got the Patriots over the Broncos. The Raiders over the Chargers. The Steelers over the Bengals, and the Panthers over Washington. So, there you go. We'll see how that goes. And hopefully I'll have all my stats and everything else for you next week in case you're interested. I always say, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet, don't bet. We have enough time. I think, I'm like a 60%. Just trying to pick the winning team. And when you add in the points, you know, I going into last week, I was at 6.57%. 125 wins and 65 losses. And that's just trying to pick the winners. If you try to add in the points spread, that just makes it so much easier for the gamblers to take your money. If you want to send your money someplace, send it to me. Okay. The Patriots picked up a wide receiver who had obviously a drinking problem. He was cut by the Cardinals because of being found asleep at the wheel of his car with the engine running. And I think that's his second offense with the Cardinals. He had a few more with when he was in college at Notre Dame, when Charlie Weiss was coaching back then. They said he probably not going to have any problem picking up the offense because the terminology is so close to what they had at Notre Dame when Weiss was there, to what the Patriots had, because just Weiss just brought his NFL terminology with him. So the question is, will he be of any value, or would it be more beneficial for the Patriots to let him go through some kind of counseling program or whatever, and then maybe, you know, bring him in next year or maybe even for the playoffs? But we're going to have to wait and see what happens here. Belichick said the move was made because they were thin at wide receiver after Amendola went down. And I can understand that from a team perspective, but I'm sure there are probably other wide receivers out there, some of them who may have some prior knowledge of the Patriots offense, who might have been, you know, better choices as far as... what we're seeing here is a young man who's obviously troubled and needs help. And, well, we'll have to wait and see what happens. They may not activate him for a while. They may, you know, just let him get used to the system and hopefully not have to activate him unless somebody else gets hurt on the wide receiving corps. But anyway, we're going to have to wait and see. There are, at least I think I read somewhere or heard somewhere that there are at least two other wide receivers on the taxi squad. So they know the system. So it's not like this is desperation. But this guy, I guess, is what, 6'2", 6'3", and probably just adds a little more depth experience, whatever. And they're hoping that he can get his act together, or they can help him get his act together, and he can contribute as the team in the season move right along. Okay, 4:56 here on WMFO in Medford. Okay, let's go out talking Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox. Red Sox have added, from what I understand, a whole bunch. I won't say a whole bunch. A bunch of seats behind home plate. Now, I gather they're going to be, you know, big bucks seats. And what it does is take away some of the foul territory as far as pop-ups behind home plate is concerned. But, you know, the dollars count. And that brings me back to my old theory that the Red Sox should turn Fenway Park into a museum and allow college and high school teams to utilize it during the season. And, you know, maybe you could bring in a few football games or whatever, college football games as well. And then find a major spot outside of the area where they could build a stadium that would hold 50, 60,000 people, and they would rack up the money. That to me would seem like you know you're trying to squeeze everything you can out of Fenway Park. But I said turn it into a museum. People would like to come and visit and see all the stuff, and maybe even Little League teams could play there. And it would be, I think it would be a moneymaker at the old stadium, and bring in the folks for the new stadium. Maybe even have it like Toronto, where you have a retractable roof. John Henry's got the money. Although someone was saying maybe Henry's thinking about selling the team now that they're doing so well. But and we, you know, everybody's up, you know, excited about what Chris Sale is going to add to the rotation. And I'm saying, yeah, and we got Wright coming back. He was going to be an all-star. And it looked like he was heading for a great season last year. Can he turn it around? And then we've got the new acquisition from Milwaukee in the bullpen. And we got Kelly, who's going to be up there as well. We may have a surplus. They're talking about trading one of the pitchers, but we'll see what happens. And you know, everybody should be excited. It's only after 2 or 3 years if we don't win anything, and some of these young talent that we traded away start blossoming elsewhere, will the moaning and groaning begin to take place. But right now, I say, hey, I can see what you're doing. You're going for it now, and I can't fault you on that. 4:59 here on WMFO. This is Don Lee Brown putting the wraps on another edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Yes, 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 I'll be back next Sunday, Christmas morning, talking sports, Lord willing. I think I'll try something, maybe something different next Sunday as well because of the Christmas season. But anyway, we plan to be here. Hopefully you'll be here too. And invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way from now until 5, from 5 until 8 a.m. And we're going to have another program featuring top hits of the year 2016 and music of the Christmas season. You don't want to miss that.